The following program was pre-recorded. On WFAN, it's time for Hello, My Name is Craig, our weekly candid conversation about gambling addiction. It's supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER. Now, here's Craig Carton.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Hello, My Name is Craig. Craig Carton with you. As always, a 30-minute conversation, an honest conversation about gambling addiction. As always, joining me, Dan Trelaro. Danny, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Craig. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you.
Yep. And happy to have joining us today a fellow gambler in recovery. CJ joins us this morning. CJ, good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing good. Thank you so much for joining us today. I guess first and foremost, what was the date of your last wager?
January 4th of 2024. So I just hit a year in recovery, and it's been the best year of my life.
Wow. Congratulations on that. Let's get into it here a little bit. When do you first remember being exposed to any type of gambling? You know, well before it became a problem or anything like that.
Yeah, so I actually have a surprising little story here. I was about 11 or 12 years old, and my family and I were in Aruba. And at the resort, they had bingo, and it was like, you know, $2 for a card, $3 for a card, whatever. Long story short, I ended up winning the pot. It was like $1,100.
Wow.
That was the first time I was exposed to that. And, you know, looking back, I never realized it until I started recovery. And then I had a long, you know, no gambling process. And then actually signed up for an account on a legal betting site with my mom's information.
Right.
When I was, 19, 20. I hit big there, Craig, and I think that's kind of what set it off.
Yeah, Dan, we hear that a lot, where, you know, someone's first kind of introduction to gambling is associated with some type of win. So mentally, we process that as free money. This is easy. I'm just going to do this, you know, every day of the week, right?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the worst things that happens, and we hear it all the time. One of the worst things that can happen is that you win, right, early on. Mm-hmm. And part of it is, you know, you don't see the negatives. So now you have a positive experience. It makes you feel good. People are celebrating. You feel good inside. You become the big shot, center of attention. And you say, wow, this is easy. Why wouldn't I want to do this?
Right.
So, you know, no negative side effects, you know, no negative attributes. Sure, let me continue.
So, CJ, you had a couple early wins gambling. You know, that obviously doesn't tell the entire story. Give me an idea of how quickly gambling became a bigger and more regular part of your life.
Yeah, so like I said, when I was 19, 20, I hit that that pretty big win in sports betting, and then I kind of took a break there for a little bit, and as soon as I turned 21, it was like right then and there, I started, you know, rapidly placing bets because I became, you know, legal on the site, so I signed up for them,
right.
And there were points, Craig, where I said to myself, you know, listen, if I hit this, I'm going to quit. And I think that's a big sign of addiction there. I got back to those points. I got back to, you know, zero. I hate to say that. I was looking forward to being at zero rather than being negative, which is crazy. And then I just kept going, and it just spiraled out of control.
Yeah, well, the issue with that is, as much as it's irrational to people who don't have a problem or people who don't gamble at all, it's actually a very rational thought, especially because you did have some experience winning. So the idea is, I'm down X amount of bucks, but I've won before. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm Dan can speak to this also. You make so many deals with God, with the devil, with yourself. If you just let me get to zero, I promise you I'm going to stop. Like, we've all had that conversation. Regardless of even what the number is, we've all negotiated with ourselves, with talks with God. I had a million talks with God about, give me the out, let me get to zero, let me just win this weekend. I promise you I'll never do it again. And invariably, you know, we do. Give me an idea, though, like at the height of your addiction, the height of you really having a problem, because I want people to really understand it. Walk me through what's a normal day or a week or a month for you from a standpoint of time spent doing it.
You know, to be honest with you, it was mostly at night. I was up at college, so I had stuff going on during the day.
Right.
I got into a cycle of not going to class as much as I should have and not being you know, paying as much attention to that stuff as I should have. So my grades saw a decrease for sure. Right. But it was mostly at night. And what I found myself doing is, you know, you have the first block of games. I was big into sports. So you have the first block of games and then you have the second block of games just, you know, every night.
Yep.
So I'd bet on all the first ones or a lot of the first ones, see what would happen. And then regardless or you know, depending on that outcome, then I would go to the later games and just chase and chase and chase. And it became a cycle like that.
I'll give people an example. Basketball season, you'd bet three or four games at 7 o'clock and then you'd either chase the loss or try to double the win at 10 o'clock, that kind of thing.
Correct. Yep. And it was that, you know, NHL, stuff like that.
Yeah. And what I should explain to people is, look, there are people that will have successful days, weeks, months. I'm sure you've had some. I've had them. Mm-hmm. You know, Danny's had them. But when you get to a point where you're betting significant numbers of games, even take the money out of it, it's almost impossible to win. There's just too many games to bet for you to expect to actually come out on top, you know, day after day after day. How are you funding this gambling as a college kid?
So I ran through my funds very quickly, and then I started manipulating my parents and using a credit card that was under their name that I had access to, you know, for necessities.
Right.
And started swiping that and you know, fueling my addiction via that. And I said to them repeatedly, like, this is not bad. This is, you know, I'm not doing anything wrong, but I was lying. I was manipulating. I was doing all sorts of things that you should not be doing to people who love you the most.
How long did it take them to figure out something was going on and actually call you on it?
That happened about 2 months before I entered recovery. So right around Thanksgiving, we got some letters from the bank. I had overdrawn my account and I, you know, swore. I was like, I didn't do this. I didn't do this. I didn't do this. And here I was, you know, under the carpet, pulling strings and manipulating and lying and stealing, you know, all the stuff you don't want to be doing, like I just said.
Let me stop you right there. We'll take a quick break. We'll continue on with CJ and Dan. This is Hello, My Name is Craig.
Back to more of Hello, My Name is Craig on The Fan with your host, Craig Carton, and supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER.
All right, welcome back to Hello, My Name is Craig. Dan Schlauer, as always, and CJ joins us. He's been in recovery for just, I guess, 1 year, almost to the date, which is an amazing, amazing accomplishment. So, you know, Dan and I are both proud of you for getting a year in, and knock on wood, we get to year two, three, four, five, et cetera.
Thank you.
It's Thanksgiving. You know you got a problem, but did you own that you had a problem? If I'd asked you, you know, a year ago Thanksgiving, you know, a couple months before you actually decided to get into recovery, hey, CJ, do you have a gambling problem? What would you have said to me?
Probably I would say no, Craig, to be honest with you. I never saw it as a problem until I saw how much it affected the people around me.
And give me an example of how it affected them.
I mean, my dad couldn't sleep. My mom was in tears. I mean, it really was not a good situation. And I had actually, you know, self-excluded. And I'm thankful that this is a thing. I self-excluded myself permanently from all these sites. And there was a way I found another site to keep going for the last 2 months before I entered recovery in my, you know, data last bet January of last year.
Right.
So that's how I did it.
So what was there a bottom of the barrel moment? I know you said, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, you get the bank statements, you're overdrawn. You have to lie to your parents about that. And then you keep gambling for a couple more months. What was, if you don't mind sharing, was there a final, you know, night? There's a lot of people, Dan can tell you that, you know, on their way to recovery, go to the casino one last time or have one last really bad beat or bad loss where now there's really nothing left. So they have no choice. They're kind of forced into acknowledging they have a problem. Did you experience anything like that?
I did not, no. So it actually worked out the night before I entered recovery. So January 3rd, my dad had reached out to Dan via LinkedIn, and they connected me to a group that I'm in now. And I never really had one of those like bad losses at the end. Craig, it was my dad that called me again and, you know, put his foot down and said, listen, we're gonna get help. We can't be doing this. All that sorts of stuff.
So why didn't you fight him at that point, because you had lied to him about the gambling. So now that he reached out to Dan, and we'll get Dan's taking this in just 1 second. Why didn't you, go kicking and screaming? Why'd you say yes to it?
I think at that point I realized how much it affected them. Like, I could see the wear and tear with my family. They didn't trust me with anything, and that took a toll on me, because the last thing I want to be doing, you know, giving information to them and, you know, saying I'm doing well and this sorts of stuff. I did good in school, and then them saying, you know, I don't believe you, let me see proof. And I got really sick of that stuff, and I understand why they were asking me for that, looking back on it now, because I really was manipulating and lying and doing bad things to them.
So, Dan, let me bring you in. You and I have done this for a long time together. When you get a phone call or an email or a LinkedIn post from a father who's beside himself because he's watching his son, and I apologize for saying this, CJ, but really kind of like deteriorate in front of him, and you get that call or that note, walk people through kind of like the steps you take and how, before you even meet CJ or start talking to him or get him in the right place to get help, what's the conversation been like for you with someone like CJ's dad?
Man, and CJ, I'm so glad that it's been over a year, man. Congratulations first again on that. You know, when I get reached out to by a parent, father, mom, whoever it might be, take the time to like sit down and say, hey, thanks for reaching out. Tell me a little bit about what's going on. And we get the background, you know, what's happening, what's it look like, where are we at right now? And I always ask, you know, where do you live? What's your location? Let's get you the resources that'll help. And, you know, Craig, you and I have great partnerships around the country with people who can help provide support services. And it's in the moment, you have to drop whatever you're doing and get the support to the person that needs it. You know, the parents, like CJ said, you can start to see health decline and hear the voices of the parents. Like, that's when it really starts to hit. And if CJ's coming saying, hey, listen, I'm open and willing and ready now to get help, that window is really small and it's only open for a short period of time. So we stress the urgency to say, listen, you don't have to have the right answers if you're the parent, but you have to know where to go and talk to the people who can get you to that next level, right? So immediately get the support. Reinforce, they're doing the right thing. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be painful. Send them a wealth of information and clickable links and resources to immediately get to a virtual meeting or to talk to a counselor or call 800-GAMBLER for more support 24/7. But it's really, Craig, it's striking while the iron's hot, because, you know, like CJ, it's like, I know when I came to recovery, it's like, okay, I'm motivated. And then 2 minutes later, okay, I'm not motivated anymore. You know, it's just, it could be fleeting sometimes. So you have to strike while the iron's hot.
You know, CJ, I'm as Dan does, you know, I counsel people, young guys like yourself, every day of the week. And, you know, I'm happy I'm able to share my story with them and talk to them in a manner that they respect, because, like Dan, I've lived it. We've walked a mile in your shoes. One of the big things I always say is, if someone reaches out, a parent, a loved one, or even the gambler themselves, and asks for my help or guidance, you know, one of the first things I say is, have you self-excluded? Now, to be fair, not everybody knows they can. So once you walk people through the ability to self-exclude, which basically makes it impossible for you to wager legally, you know, on your phone or online, which is a great first step. If guys are unwilling to do it or haven't done it, then there's nothing I can do to help them. There's nothing Dan can do to help them. Because it's a sign that you're not really willing to stop and take the steps to, you know, protect you from you. And I'm wondering for you, how long did it take you to commit to self-excluding?
Pretty immediately,
you did.
Craig, to be honest with you. I think I was just so beat up over affecting other people that cared so much about me and wanted the best for me that I had to have enough. That was it for me. I'll say right now that excluding for life, it was the best decision I could have done, because had I done it for a year, who knows what would have happened these last couple of weeks, because the ban would have been lifted. So who knows? I think that was the best move for me.
That's great perspective on that.
Craig, can I just add something?
Yeah, go ahead.
One thing I think about, and CJ, you mentioned this, and Craig, you mentioned this too. Self-exclusion prevents an individual from wagering on the legal regulated site. And one of the issues we see around the country is the fact that there is continued growth of the illegal, unregulated sites.
Right.
And that makes it very difficult, because a lot of today's consumer, especially 18 to 25, they don't know whether a site's legal or not. And it's the marketing, it's the advertising. And I think that's really critical, is that we need to do even a better job here across the country in kind of shutting down the access to some of these sites that are not regulated, that are not, you know, enforced.
No, I'm with you.
That's one of the really tricky parts.
When I was at the height of my wagering, I wagered on an illegal site based in Malta, you know, every single day of the week. So, you know, if you, and that's the problem, like where there's a will, there's a way. And, you know, when you're in it, you won't define it. CJ, the other thing I get asked a lot from people, I think about your age or younger than you, and we always talk about, you know, what do you replace the gambling with? Because you don't even realize how much mental space and energy and emotions you're taking with gambling. One of the questions is, well, if I'm not gambling, what am I going to do? And I would say, you know, some people like to read a book, exercise, work out, you know, whatever it might be. I'm trying to figure out for you, what did you replace the gambling with?
I am an enormous golfer, and I always use that time on the course, you know, a block of 4 or 5 hours to go out there, you know, whether it's just myself or with other people and kind of decompress and think and reflect on what I was doing. So I think that's a huge thing for me, Craig. And I'd say exercising, you know, get the steam out. If you have an issue, go take a walk, go, you know, do certain things like that. And the group I'm in now, I, you know, see people, I'll check the messages and whatnot. And I'll see people saying, you know, I had an urge, but I fought it off by doing this or doing that. And they're just little things that I picked up along the way that say, hey, if I ever have an urge, I'm going to, you know, try it. It worked for someone else, so maybe it'll work for me. And if it doesn't, I could try something else, but whatever I have to do to not gamble again is what I'm going to do.
How old are you?
I just turned 22.
I think it's awesome. The maturity you have in regards to this and the self-awareness is really awesome. And I know you don't want a pat on the back, but for someone your age to have lived through it, come out the other side and acknowledge that you have a problem and address it the way you have, you should be really proud of yourself. It's not as easy as people think. And I think the place that you're at is really good. And, you know, people also have to understand, and Dan can speak to this, you know, like there are little aspects of addiction that the rest of us, you know, if you don't have an addiction, I think you take for granted. And I'll give you an example. CJ's a year in recovery and he likes to golf. So there's no doubt, probably has already happened. I can guarantee you it's going to happen. Where you're going to go out to play golf and maybe you pick up a couple guys on the course or you and your buddies go. And at some point, someone's going to say, all right, guys, what are the stakes? Mm-hmm. You know, are we playing in Nassau? Are we playing? What are we doing? And you're going to be put in a spot, whether it's with guys you know who, knock on wood, won't put you in that spot because you know them. Mm-hmm. Or you'll be with strangers on a golf course who, for them, it's okay to say, hey, yeah, we're playing $2 a greenie, $3 a sandy, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And I'm wondering, A, if that's happened to you yet, how you reacted to it, and B, if you've thought that through, what you might do in that situation.
Yeah, so my inner group of friends from college and some of the ones that are home with me that I grew up with, they know about my addiction, so, and they never really bring that stuff up around me.
Great.
To be honest with you, I don't know if it would affect me or not, but they know and they care enough about me to not do that stuff. In regards to the golf course, same thing goes. You know, the guys I play with the same 5-6 guys, and we just kind of rotate around, and they're all aware too, and it's never an issue.
So you're surrounding yourself with good people who care about you. And before I let you go, and Dan, before I get your last take in here, let you run, it's been a year. Obviously, it's a great accomplishment. Give people an idea. When you compare a year ago, or let's say a year ago, December, right before you agreed to get help and your dad reached out to Dan, give people an idea of how different and how much better just your everyday life is without gambling.
I feel free. I think that's the number one word I can use. I don't have to worry about, you know, stressing about how I'm going to get this money back, how I'm going to repay this person because I asked them for money, how I'm going to, you know, manipulate and, you know, screw with paper documents that are legitimate that, you know, I can't be doing that stuff with. It's incredible. I don't think about any of that stuff. I go on, I do things that I wasn't doing beforehand, and I'm so thankful that I was able to, you know, get connected to where I'm at now via Dan. And I really can't thank you enough, Dan, because you were the first person that really, you know, got me help when I needed it most. So thank you.
You're welcome. It's so good that we can connect, and so glad that you're doing well. You know, just, I'm proud of you, brother. I'm thankful for you and the family. And, you know, keep on the great work, and you always know where to reach me if you need something.
And, CJ, I would just say this to you. Because you're 22, you represent the fastest-growing segment of the population that's gambling. And while I appreciate you coming on this show, I would say if there's ever an opportunity you have to talk to your peers, your generation of guys and girls that are now gambling and share your story and be a beacon of light for people that haven't gotten help yet, please continue to talk about your experience because you have more credibility than I do, than Dan does, with your age group. So I think it's great that you're open enough to share the story with us. And knock on wood, you'll be able to share with many more people and help people out. And I can't thank you enough for coming on. And when you look in that mirror, I hope you like what you see because you should be really proud of the accomplishment of going a year without gambling. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
CJ, any final thoughts that you want to put out there? And I say this all the time. There is a lot of people your age that are at step one where they know they got a problem. They don't know how to get help or what to do. The walls are kind of caving in. If you could give advice to, regardless of age, if you could give advice to someone who is finally willing to acknowledge they have a problem, but they don't know what to do and they're fearful of, I can't imagine life without gambling. I don't know what I'm going to do. What basic advice would you give somebody that's currently where you were 13 months ago?
I mean, it sounds so simple, but you have to open yourself up and be willing to get help from people. I find value in people who are in recovery, like yourself, like Dan, whoever that may be. They've walked that path. They understand how to get through it. And I think, learning from them and asking them questions, how can I go about this? Giving up your financials, I think that's another huge thing. I did that for my parents, and there's oversight there, so I know there's always someone watching behind me. And that, is another reason to have me not slip up.
Right. Well, I think it's great. I appreciate you coming on. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And I'm glad your dad found Dan, because Dan is a saint walking on this planet who's helped so many people, myself included. And, you got a great resource there. And I appreciate you sharing your story and hope you have a great weekend. And please send our best regards to your mom and dad as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Craig. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care. All right. Great job by CJ. And as always, Dan Trillaro for joining us. Dan right now is working with the LIV Golf Tour and walking through the professional golfers about the potential for harm when it comes to wagering. So always working and fighting the good fight. Appreciate you listening. Joe Beningo's up next. We'll see you again next week right here with Hello, My Name is Craig on WFAN.